Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Glad you're here. I don't know about the rest of you, but I depend on my little map search thing on my phone quite a bit here in the last few years. Even here in Albuquerque, we've got a couple of doctors up on the northwest side of town, and it seems like invariably I miss the right exit and have to go the long route in order to get to the right place. And so, I don't know about you, but when I'm going on a trip, I like to kind of know where I'm going and like to have an idea of what I need to do at the right time and the right place in order to get to where I'm going on time. I don't like surprises, having to quickly come up with a better plan in order to get to where I'm going. I tried that once at the end of college. I decided I had a 700-mile trip between college in Grand Junction, Colorado, and southwest Idaho. And one time I thought, well, instead of going the same old route that I've gone for the last 3.5 years, I'm going to try something new. And I got out in the middle of Utah someplace, and I thought, where am I? And fortunately, I had a general idea of what north, south, east, and west was, and I knew I needed to go north and made it through a situation that could have been bad for a college boy on a very tight budget and a very small pocketbook. But anyway, you know, different people like to do different things, and they like to go places. There was this one particular guy who was from the Midwest. He finally got an opportunity to go see New York City. And he went into the town, and he was left his motel, and he went out just sightseeing on the streets, and he was shopping in different stores and just seeing the sights. And before he knew it, the sun went down, and he didn't know where he was at. So he tries to figure it out, and he can't figure it out. Can't see the stars, can't see any of the constellations because of the lights. And so he goes over to a newsstand, and he knew that he had left going south in his mind, so he needs to go back north. And so he goes up to this vendor at the newsstand, and he says, "Sir, which direction is north?" And the news vendor gets kind of upset, and he, loud voice, he says, "Listen here, mister. We got uptown, we got downtown, we got crosstown, but we don't got north." What do you do? Sometimes things turn out, you're just not quite sure how to handle them. There are surprises in life that can have negative results. And if we don't have a strong faith in God, we can get swamped and sucked into this angry attitude of just lashing out at the world around us. There's one man who claimed that his wife hadn't talked to him for a whole year. You see, last Christmas season, he says, "I approached my wife. I wanted to get something special for her. And I said, what would you really like for Christmas?" And his wife kind of thought for a moment, and she finally just said, "Just surprise me." So the man said, what I did was Christmas morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I leaned over and said, "Wrong plan, wrong idea." Scripture records surprises on a regular basis. There are many instances where God spoke to specific people with various types of messages. But the percent of people whom God gave these messages, you know, it's a rather small number of people that God spoke directly to. in a way, either through angels or visions or voices of all the millions and billions of people that have lived, we only have a small record of a few people who had direct messages from God. And the result of some of those interventions, we see generally that people are very surprised that God is speaking directly to them. A lot of those people became very fearful, and it's even recorded that a few of those people fainted. What would you do if God spoke directly to you? Oh, I don't know. Can we really claim that we would be able to stand up with courage and boldness and say, "Hi, Lord"? And then we have recorded in the Old Testament that God totally stopped speaking to the people for a period of about 400 years. Silence. And it wasn't necessarily golden, as the song says. God, are you still there? Are you listening to us? One of the greatest surprises of the first century on our calendar is where God resumed giving messages directly to various people about the arrival of the coming Savior of the world. Your Redeemer is coming. And again, it's not very many people, but the people who did hear about Jesus, who received these messages from God about different aspects of the coming of the Messiah, they had mixed reactions with the words that they heard. What happened to Zacharias? He lost his voice for 9 months. What about Mary? We're going to review this story about Mary today. The arrival, the message, and the effect. But before we do, let's go to God and ask Him to open up our minds, our hearts, help us to receive some kind of a truth, something that will help us, encourage us in our walk with God. Thank you, Father, for the coming of Jesus. Thank you for fulfilling your promises. The question of Emmanuel coming sometime in the future was answered. The question of what child is this that lays in the manger has been answered. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Messiah, promised so long ago. Thank you for His coming. As we consider the interaction with Mary, Father, help us to learn lessons that we need to improve in our own lives, that we need to expand our thinking and our relationship with you. Guide us and direct us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, is the visit that was made from God's representative to Mary. This is the New American Standard Translation. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of a salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The very first point I want to bring to you is that God may call you when you least expect it. Ever had company show up when you least expected it? And you look around your house and your fridge or whatever, everything's in disarray, or the fridge is empty, you were planning to do something else, and all of a sudden, company's there. This is not just company, this is God has spoken to Mary. God called upon Noah to save the life of the world. Moses was called away from 40 years of shepherding to lead the Israelites to freedom from the slavery they were engulfed in. Gideon was called from his hiding place to lead Israel to evict the enemy. Story after story as God calls when you least expect it. God's not interested in me, and all of a sudden, hey, I need you right now. God called Mary to bear and to give birth to the Son of God. What? The angel said that Mary was the one favored by God. How could that have been when she was dealing with everyday challenges like everybody else? Would she be able to tell her family? And would they accept her statement? Who would believe Mary's story that she saw an angel? That doesn't happen every day. It has been centuries since God sent messages to any man, let alone a girl. You got to be kidding. And who was she? Growing up in the major city, of Nazareth, everybody spoke down about people that lived in Nazareth. Who was she? Mary was very puzzled and confused by this message. What did she do that caused God to favor her over all of the other girls in the world? She was engaged, but she wasn't married. She knew the basic rules of reproduction, and she did not qualify for pregnancy in her mind. You got to be kidding me, God. Gabriel, what are you saying? Mary was tasked with raising up not just a boy, but a future king of Israel. Would Joseph still take her to be her wife, the wife? Or would he declare her immoral? She had violated the law. She was guilty of adultery. Stone her! How could she raise a king? She had no idea what it meant to raise a king. She was dealing with day-to-day life. And what about the Romans? The Romans are in control of everything. What are they going to think if they find out I'm raising a king? So many questions. So many challenges. What do you do when God calls you at the least expected time? We see that God enables His people to do even the impossible. God is the enabler. Mary knew that God had proven His faithfulness to help His people in the past. She'd been taught that. She'd heard the messages. She'd heard the scriptures quoted. God kept His word then, and she believed that God would keep it now. She had faith. In spite of all the questions flooding her mind, she listened intently. The conceived child would be the result of God's miracle. Not on what she was doing, but because of what God was doing. The prophecy of Isaiah 7:14 would be fulfilled in a way no man could duplicate, no man could imagine, and she would be the one to receive this blessing. God's promise to Adam and Eve would be fulfilled, that the seed of the woman was coming to destroy Satan's power. Oh, so many prophecies were being fulfilled in this statement. God planned to use who? Mary, to fulfill His plan to help humanity. What an awesome task. The coming baby was to be named, what? Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. What a name for the Savior. Emmanuel, God with us, is going to be Jesus. Since the beginning of sin, God repeatedly foretold that He would send a Redeemer to release man from the grip of sin and death. And finally, it's happening. Right now. Wow. What's going on in Mary's mind? God would give this child the eternal throne of King David. God foretold this promised reign to David before he died. I just wonder if Mary had been told that this promised king was coming through the lineage of King David, and the fact that she was one of the daughters of King David. What little glimpse had God given to her earlier that it was possible, and now it was becoming reality? And God would now complete His plan that was begun centuries earlier. Mary was encouraged by hearing about Elizabeth's life. You know, I don't know about your families, but there's sometimes in some families there's little stories that go around about certain individuals. And evidently, there was a little story floating around in Mary's family about Cousin Elizabeth. What was that story? Poor Elizabeth. She's never had any children. God has not blessed her, because God promised all of the women of Israel that if they serve God, they would have children, and especially boys. But poor, poor Elizabeth, she's now an old woman, no children. She must be cursed. Can you hear the story floating around in the family? And all of a sudden, in the sixth month, Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, oh, by the way, you remember Cousin Elizabeth? She is 6 months pregnant. What? She's an old lady. How is that possible? If God can do that for Elizabeth, He will certainly be with me. Amen? God can do the impossible. Gabriel states it to remind her, nothing is impossible with God. Look at Elizabeth. Remember what I told you. You will conceive and bear the son named Jesus. With God, all things are possible. God enables His people to do even the impossible. And Mary believed it. We must be willing to hear and obey God's call. He is the one who gives us breath and life. He is the one who provides for us everything that we need every day. He is the one who gives us everything that we own. And he's also the one that we will give an account to for what we've done with what He gave to us. We see that Mary immediately believed the message of Gabriel. She put her faith in the God of power and possibility, overcoming all of the questions, all of the fears which Satan surely tried to scramble up in her mind. Hundreds of questions, what am I going to do? Were wiped away by, I believe you, God. Okay. Mary committed herself to be a bond slave to God. She states it. Does she know what she's talking about? Surely she does. What is a bond slave? It's a person who willingly surrenders all their rights, all their freedoms to a master to do the master's bidding. Total surrender for the rest of her life. She says, may I be a bondslave to whom? To God. Mary chose God intentionally. Mary surrendered her body to be used by God as God willed. She didn't understand all the details. She didn't need to know all the details, but she put her life into the hands of God to be used for whatever God would require of her. She did not know what trials lay ahead of her. She didn't know what hardships she was going to undertake. She didn't know what threats were coming at her or what challenges faced her. But she did know that God was in control, and she would be honored to carry God's Son in her womb. I'm your bondslave. Mary and Joseph faced the challenges together, raising God's Son the best that they could as sinful people. After all, how many people are righteous on our own? None of us. But with God's help, we can do all things. And God helped this young couple to raise God's Son, taking him from infancy through childhood to adulthood as best as they could under the law that God had given to the people of Israel. Of course, we see Jesus kind of took the mission under his own wing. When he was 12 years old, he already understood what his purpose was, that he was preparing himself to face the world, to become the Redeemer of man. Mary didn't understand all that. We see some confusion in Jesus' early ministry on the part of the family. But overall, she trusted God. She believed in God. Scripture states that every person, including you and me, are given life by who? By God. He has a plan for every person, including me and you, if you will answer his call. Even when you don't answer his call, he's going to use you in his plan. Wouldn't it be better to live the way he wants you to live than to be used as one of his pawns in his plan? We read in the New Testament that Jesus came to redeem all humanity from sin and death, pleading for everybody to believe in his words, but only those people who obey him and follow him will be the beneficiaries. They are the only ones who will be redeemed and saved and given life everlasting. During his life on earth, people responded to the physical voice of Jesus. Multitudes came and listened. Multitudes benefited from his miracles. But then he left. So how in the world do we respond today? We still read the scriptures. We still study the word. We still pray and ask God for direction. And his spirit still prompts us and works in our hearts and our minds if we are open to it. Jesus still calls people with the message he gave to the people of the first century. Come to me, all who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The question is, will we hear that message, hang on to it, receive it, and live by it? What is Jesus calling of you to do for him today? God is calling your name. The scripture says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's calling. Will we answer positively? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for hope and life through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the stories of how you interacted with various people in various situations. We thank you for recording their responses. And we thank you for those many who willingly accepted your call, not knowing what lay before them, but being willing bondservants, slaves for whatever you would require of them. Help us, guide us. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have accepted your call. Help us to do your work in a world that is falling apart, that still needs the Redeemer. Until Jesus comes again, help us to work effectively, united in Christ, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.